This podcast is brought to you by Audible.com, the internet's leading provider of audiobooks with more than 100,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature and featuring audio versions of many of the New York Times bestsellers. For listeners of this podcast, Audible is offering a free audiobook to give you a chance to try out their service. For a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/sword. That's audiblepodcast.com/sword.
And by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website or online portfolio. For a free trial and 20% off, go to squarespace.com and use offer code SWORD9.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
Episode number 142. I'm Veronica Belmont.
Wow. It feels like forever since we've done it this way, but we've had episodes pretty much every week. I'm Todd Merritt.
And this is the show, the science fiction and fantasy show, where we talk about the latest going on in the genre world, interview some of your favorite authors, discuss what you guys are talking about over on forums on goodreads.com, and of course, discuss our book of the month. And you sound like you are drinking.
Oh, well, yeah, sometimes we start the show with what are we drinking?
What are you clinking around over there?
You know, it's a little warm down here in LA today, a little muggy, actually. Because I'm near the ocean, so you get a little of that marine layer. So I'm having a refreshing Hendrix and tonic with a slice of cucumber.
Oh, that sounds lovely.
This was recommended to me by a guy at Dragon Con at the bar in the Hilton. We were talking about Hendrix. He's like, you got to try it with a slice of cucumber. Guy at bar, you are right. This is delicious.
I do love Hendrix. It is a non-traditional gin, but it is delicious. It is very good. So I highly recommend trying Hendrix at your local brew pub.
Now, before we get into the sci-fi and fantasy news and book discussion, do you have anything to quench your thirst?
I do. I am drinking again, as I did on, I believe, episode 138, 2011 Hangtime Cellars Pinot Noir from California. And that's because I buy in bulk.
Ah, okay. I was going to say, it's not the same bottle from back then, is it? Okay, good.
No, I use Lot 18, which is the site that I usually buy all my wine on. This is just an endorsement. It is not an advertisement.
Paid endorsement.
It's not a paid endorsement.
Right.
It's just a happy, I like this thing endorsement. They have a wine club called Tasting Room. And so I think I talked about this on the show before. They send you little tiny sample bottles of tiny wines.
It's so fun.
And you did it too?
Yeah, I did.
Do you get a subscription?
I didn't do the subscription. I was too cheap.
Oh, it's kind of surprising because they're like, we just charged you $200. And you're like, what? But then you get like 12 bottles of wine. So that's nice. So I was happy with that. A new one is coming and I have barely tapped into the first case.
That's what I was worried about is like, I don't drink that
quarterly,
much wine.
And I just don't drink 12 bottles a quarter.
Get on it, lady.
I need to drink more. I use them as gifts a lot.
You need to drink. Yeah, I don't know if that's
true. Give bottles of wine for gifts.
That's good. Yeah, that's
gifts
nice.
How do you say the word gifts?
Gifts.
Gifts. Like an animated gif.
Giftus.
I want to say it like gif. I gave him a gif. Is that like
Gave him a gift.
Gift. Gift. Yeah. Gift.
Just put the T at the end. You're good.
That's better. Let's move on to the quick burns.
Let's do.
So this first story is interesting to me because I actually started reading this book. So Neil Gaiman has a sexy scene, a sexy wizard scene, no less.
A sexy wizard bear scene.
A sexy wizard bear scene. In the brand new audiobook for Ellen Kushner's book, The Fall of the Kings, which started with Swords Point. This is the third novel in the Riverside series, which started at Swords Point. Actually, so I haven't read this book. I read Swords Point. So Neil Gaiman did the audiobook along with the author, Ellen Kushner, and it gets a little steamy.
Well, this is part of Neil Gaiman Presents, mm-hmm. where he does these audiobooks. He doesn't even always voice them, but he sort of says, hey, I think these are great and you should listen to them. And Ellen Kushner, according to IO9, recalled the day that Gaiman laid down the tracks for The Fall of Kings. He walked into the studio. He wasn't looking that great. He had just done an entire other audiobook, and he said, right, what's my character for King sound like? And she said, it's a wizard. You know, you've written that character before, and so have I. Kind of like Merlin, said the producer, Sue Zizza. But a sexy Merlin, insisted the author. A sexy wizard who sometimes turned into a bear, Delia explained, which of course nailed it. And Neil walked into the studio and nailed it too. So sexy wizard bear it is. You get to hear it now.
Sexy wizard bear. I can stick a little clip in the show. Let's take a listen.
There, the bear man found Theron, whose hair was braided in 22 braids, tied off with jewels and bits of polished bone.
My lord.
The bear man did not touch him, but Theron could feel his breath, hot as sun on earth.
Why do you hide from your people? Come out and let them do you proper homage.
Theron shook his horn-branched head.
They will not do homage to this.
Truly, you have run in this form for far too long. One wonders if you are king at all. The proper rites have not been observed. You led the hunt in your own shape, and now you cannot rule yourself in this one. I fear the time of trial is at an end.
From the fur of his cloak, he drew forth a knife, dully gleaming stone, with an edge like an animal's tooth.
Rise, little king, and kneel to me. Bare your throat and give your power back to the land.
No!
Theron tried to fling up his hands, but he stood trembling in deer form. His hands were hooves planted on the ground beneath him. The bear narrowed yellow eyes.
Then will you run?
I have run,
Theron said.
I have been hunter and hunted. I have a deer's horns and a man's heart, and I have the blood of kings.
Yes,
the bear growled.
That is a beginning.
Where, then, shall I run?
Why, to the grove,
the wizard said, handing him the knife of stone. It was cold as death in his hand.
Run to the sacred grove where oak and holly ring the pool, where you may know whether you shall live to take up kingship or die to feed the land.
He struck the deer a blow on the haunch.
Run!
Theron awoke with his heart pounding, his breath coming in quick, tight gasps. The room was squeezing the life out of him. He dashed to the window, flung open the casement, and breathed in the sharp, cold air.
All righty. I hope you are all intrigued to hear more.
I am intrigued to hear more about oysterbooks.com. This is an ebook service backed by Peter Thiel's Founders Fund, if you're into that sort of thing, that is described by others as the Netflix for ebooks. So you pay $9.95 a month. You have access to over 400,000 titles. You can keep up to 10 of them at a time on your mobile device without an internet connection. So you can download them, keep them there, read them when you want. And then if you want more than 10, you just got to swap them in and out. But you get to, as long as your subscription is active, read as many books as you want.
That's pretty awesome. I have not been able to try this out because I don't have an iPhone, which makes me sad.
Right. They're going to come to more platforms in the future, but right now it's just for iOS.
I don't have an iPhone because I dropped it into the ocean.
The ocean has your iPhone now.
Ariel has my iPhone now with her gadgets and gizmos aplenty.
Right.
And her who's it and what's its galore.
Not Ariel Waldman, but Ariel the mermaid.
Yes, the littlest of mall mermaids, indeed. I'm looking forward to trying this, actually, because this could be great for us. I can't check to see what kind of sci-fi fantasy selection they have. I think that would be important for us to know.
By the way, it was 100,000 titles. I was confusing two numbers. The 400,000 titles is what you have in the Amazon lending library, which you get as part of Amazon Prime. This is 100,000 titles is just part of Oyster, but it is $9.95 a month. The reason I wouldn't do this myself is I don't read more than two books a month, maybe three tops.
Oh, okay.
So I'm not sure that I would get the best benefit out of it unless I was guaranteed that all three books I want are available. All three books I want aren't always available in audiobook or ebook or the preferred form that I want to read that particular book in. So I'm a little leery of this right now, but I know for some of you out there, you read like crazy people. Like you read 20 books a month. This might be awesome for you.
I think I'm going to check it out for sure. It's kind of exciting to me. So I'm glad that Om actually came around and Om is a friend, by the way. So I'm
Om Balak of Giga Om wrote the story.
Yeah, he's the one who wrote the story. Yeah. And he's like, I was wrong about this. I had my doubts, but actually using it is quite delightful. And he especially appreciated the part where you can read the books offline.
Yeah.
Which I think is a major win for them.
And they have like The Life of Pi is on there. Like they have, you know, current best-selling award-winning mm-hmm. books on there. It's not like the dregs or it's not a bunch of public domain works from
Victoria. That's been the problem in the past. I mean, Amazon had that issue with their lending library and it was all stuff you hadn't really heard of before. It was kind of new stuff from unknown authors for the most part. So this is a really big coup for that market. Moving on to sad news, yes.
Yeah, sad time. It seems, I don't know if we're just covering it more or if there have been more deaths in the world of science fiction. Maybe it's that science fiction being kind of young is now getting old enough where there are just more people who've written science fiction. But sadly, A.C. Crispin passed away. This was on, I'm trying to find the date, September 6th. A.C. Crispin, if you don't know her, not only a great sci-fi writer, but also a fighter for rights, did a lot of work to help authors not get taken advantage of by unscrupulous people.
Right. And unfortunately, she passed away from cancer, which is always, that always gets you in different heart feels because, you know, it's always too soon kind of thing. But you should check out her work. Shana McGuire,
I was just going to read that same thing. That's good.
Was a fan. And she said, I never waited for my Hogwarts acceptance letter. I was a Molly Grew by then, but I used to dream of acceptance to Starbridge Academy. A.C. Crispin was one of the women who made me believe that I would someday be allowed to write science fiction. She gave me so much hope. If you are unfamiliar with Anne Crispin's work, find the Starbridge series. They supported diversity and intersectionality at a time when straight white cis guys in space was a valid pitch for a series. I don't know mm-hmm. what a cis guy is.
That's cool. Good job, Shannon McGuire.
What's a cis guy?
I don't know. You're asking me.
I don't know. Maybe I'll ask her on Twitter. I don't know what that means. But still, that's awesome. That is reason enough for me, you know, and there's tons of reasons to check out her works. So please do that.
Cisgender and cissexual describe related types of gender identity where an individual's self-perception of their gender matches the sex they were assigned at birth.
Oh, okay.
All right. Also, Friedrich Pohl at 93 passed away earlier this month, and he is a legend from Palatine, Illinois, a Chicago suburb. And The Space Merchants, one of his famous anti-utopian novels. He was a part of the American Association for the Advancement of Science. He was a fellow there. Just an amazing guy, a controversial guy in a lot of ways, and wrote an incredible oeuvre, as they say sometimes. I probably never say that. Maybe I shouldn't.
I'm bad at pronouncing things, so I would never even attempt that.
Hey, there's awards happened since the last time we did Quick Burns.
Yes, the fantastic Hugo Awards, the 2013 Hugo Awards have been announced. We talked about it a lot here on the show when the nominations were announced.
Whole reason
well.
We're reading The Demolished Man, right? It's because of the Hughes.
Absolutely. And best novel, big congrats to our friend John Scalzi for
Red
Shirts.
He's our friend now because he's a Hugo winner. You're our best friend, John. Don't forget us.
We didn't like you much before, but now
we loved you before.
Don't ever listen. You got status, John. Nice.
Yeah, for Red Shirts. I'm really happy about that.
He probably won because he came on the show to talk about Red Shirts.
I would think so.
That's probably why. It probably got their attention.
Kind of like a campaign appearance, right?
I mean, he's basically an unknown. So for us to bring him on the show, I think we really did him a service.
Right, no one, we made him.
We made John Scalzi.
Right. The human division, we made that. No one had ever heard of these weird things. No. We are, if anyone doesn't quite get this, we are 100%, 110% kidding about that.
Yeah, we're huge fans, and he's a fantastic author and very well deserved. Red Shirts was that an alt pick? Or did we actually?
It was an alt
it?
Pick.
It was
yeah,
an alt
like
pick.
2 months ago, I think. 2-3 months ago.
So we couldn't even be bothered to make it a main. That's how.
Look at us. That's how you win. Be an alt deck on Sword and Lightsaber. That's how you win.
Best novella went to The Emperor's Soul by Brandon Sanderson, another person who owes his entire career to our show.
Right. Brian K. Vaughan won Best Graphic Story for Sega Volume 1, which we mentioned in the calendar once, I'm pretty sure.
Made his career too. Yes.
And of course, SF Signal winning Best Fanzine. Congratulations to John Donardo. And SF Squeecast with Shauna McGuire, who's been on the show, winning Best Fancast.
Fantastic. Interestingly, Best Dramatic Presentation Short Form went to Game of Thrones Blackwater by George R. R. Martin.
So he got a Hugo for writing a TV show.
He did.
Look at you, George R. R. Martin.
He did.
Packing him up.
There's a lot of people that we know on the show from Squeecast. Elizabeth Baer, Paul Cornell, who we also interviewed on the show. Lynn Thomas, who we don't know, but I'm sure we would love to have her as well.
We must book her.
What did you say?
We must book that.
We'll book her.
We'll
book it. We'll make it happen.
Also, the Parsec Awards, which you hosted with author Scott Sigler.
I didn't. I wasn't available. I thought they brought on some, different.
They didn't see it, so they don't get the joke.
I know. So Scott Sigler and I did a bit of a bit.
It was quite a good bit, I have to say. I was a little skeptical when you told me about it, but you guys carried it off really well.
Tom, shouldn't you be telling me when you're skeptical of things so I can make better choices?
Not ahead of time.
Well, isn't that the point? Be like, I'm kind of skeptical of this. Maybe you should make better choices.
Well, because I wasn't thinking you shouldn't do it. I was like, I wonder if they'll be
you
able to make
do
that
it.
Work.
It'll be funny if you screw it up.
No, I was thinking they'll probably make it work, but I don't know.
Well, like, we kind of did.
I think it was risky, but you guys pulled it off. If I had said something ahead of time, you would have got all weird, like, oh, it's not going to work. And then I would have violated the prime directive.
Well, the Parsec Awards are, of course, the speculative fiction, sci-fi fantasy podcast awards, for lack of a better way to explain it, I guess. It's my second year hosting it, so I should probably be better at this. But now Cydonia by Rick Kennett won for Best Speculative Fiction Story Small Cast. We had The Shadow Over Innsmouth for small cast novella form. There's a lot of great stuff in here that you guys should check out. If you love radio drama, if you love podcasting. If you love audiobooks even, there's a lot of great stuff in here. We were not nominated. I'm getting kind of sick of not being nominated.
Yeah, you people need to nominate us. We'll do a better job of telling you.
Yes. I could have sworn we told them.
I don't know.
Do you guys just
I don't
us?
Really like campaigning though.
Well,
it leaves a bad taste in my mouth.
Well, campaigning, I guess. I like winning things too though, Tom.
No, I know you do.
So we got to make that happen. But first, we got to thank one of our sponsors. This podcast is brought to you by Audible.com, the internet's leading provider of audiobooks with more than 150,000 downloadable titles.
What? 150,000 now? That's insane.
150,000 downloadable titles. Across all types of literature and featuring audio versions of many of the New York Times bestsellers. What do we recommend this week, Tom?
I don't know. We should give them a free book. What
a
should
free
we
book
give them?
Their choice?
Yeah.
Anything?
Like if they were to go to audiblepodcast.com/sword, they could just get, I don't know, they could get Mistborn by Brandon Sanderson totally free. Like just
or
free.
Or The Lies of Locke Lamora.
Or they could get The Lies of Locke Lamora and get started on Scott Lynch before The Republic of Thieves comes out.
That's a good one. Or 50 Shades of Gray. That's on there.
Sure. Okay.
I'm just looking at the front page.
That's for you.
Now. I'm just looking at the front
that's
page.
That's fine.
To recommend things.
No aspersions
Don't
cast.
Don't actually do that. I changed my mind. Don't do it.
You can get anything like that free. One book free. And I know there's those of you out there like, I've been an Audible subscriber forever, people. I don't know what I'm supposed to do.
Give it away. Give it to a friend.
Tell somebody, audiblepodcast.com/sword. And
give it to
be
your
like,
spouse.
You've got a free book. And
give
they'll be
your
like,
lover.
You're the best person ever. I love you. Marry me. And
there you
then
go.
They'll be married.
And then you're set. So audiblepodcast.com/sword. We will get you married.
Or not.
That's a promise.
If you're afraid.
That's a promise.
We'll make sure. Yeah. We'll make good things happen.
Not actually a promise.
Not a promise.
I can't promise that I don't have those kinds of powers.
Not an actual legal promise.
Yes. We need fast talking guy to,
yeah, we
to
do.
Read the things at the end of that.
Disclaimers. But no, seriously, thank you, Audible. And one other thing you can do is go on to Twitter and tell Audible, hey, thanks for keeping Sword and Laser in business. We love you.
Yes, you guys have been doing that, and I super appreciate that. It is awesome. So thank you very much.
Shall we calendar it?
We shall calendar it. All right. So on September 17th, is that today?
That is today, as we are recording this.
That is today of recording, so probably yesterday in your future self.
Perhaps.
We have Kinslayer, The Lotus War by J. Christoph. We have The One-Eyed Man, A Fugue with Winds and Accompaniment by Elie Modisset. We have Modisset. I said it right the second time.
Mm-hmm.
Delia's Shadow by Jamie Lee Moyer. Anarchy by James Treadwell.
And
a podcast.
Oh, this one. September 24th, The Dead Run by Adam Mansbach comes out. Also, Dr. Sleep, which is in The Shining universe by Stephen King. Steelheart by Brandon Sanderson. Mm. One of New Brandon Sanderson. It's coming next week. Casebook of Newbery and Hobbes by George Mann. The Incrementalist, which by all accounts is getting some really good reviews. Stephen Brust and Skylar White. Skylar White is the name of a character in Breaking Bad.
That's weird.
And Vicious by V.E. Schwab. Also next week, we will be posting the audio version in our podcast of our interview with author Robin Schneider.
Sure, if I can find it. If I can find
It'll
that audio.
Show up. Don't
it
worry
shows
about it.
Up.
It'll be fine.
All right.
Everything will be fine.
September 30th, we have Book of Iron by Elizabeth Baer. We have Tales of Magipor by Robert Silverberg. And How the World Became Quiet, Myths of the Past, Present, and Future by Rachel Swirsky.
And then we'll have another quick burns-ish episode of Sword and Laser October 1st. Also out on that day, tons of books, starting to get that fall rush. The Abominable by Dan Simmons. The Lost Stars, Perilous Shield by Jack Campbell. The Godborn, The Sundering Book 2 by Paul S. Kemp. Johannes Cabal, The Fear Institute by Jonathan L. Howard. Day One, a novel by Nate Kenyon. The Necromancer's House by Christopher Buhlman. In the Company of Thieves by Cage Baker. Bastion, Book 5 of the Collegium Chronicles, a Valdemar novel by Mercedes Lackey. And Ancillary Justice by Anne Leckie.
Nice. A lot of good stuff. Mm-hmm. It's an exciting time to be a reader.
A Republic of Thieves coming October 8th, too. We didn't forget about it. It's just a little farther down.
All right. Well, let's jump right into TV, movies, and video games. Apparently, Miss J.K. Rowling is writing a new movie in the Harry Potter universe.
But
Warner
no
Brothers.
Harry Potter.
What?
No Harry Potter in it.
No Harry Potter in it. I said in universe. Universe.
No. I'm just making sure people understood.
We'll get to that.
Because they get so excited.
We're clarifying.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So Warner Brothers, according to IO9, has just announced a new Harry Potter movie that probably won't actually star Harry Potter. Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them is the first in a new series of movies set in the world of Harry Potter. And the screenplay will be written by J.K. Rowling herself. So Potterphiles, as they go on to say, know that the title is based on the Hogwarts textbook of the same name. Interesting. Maybe it'll be like Monster Hunters.
This could be really, really amazing, or it could go horribly wrong, because Harry Potter had a very good story to build the movie on, and J.K. Rowling had a lot of influence but was not the screenwriter. Now she's the screenwriter. We don't know if she's a good screenwriter. Maybe she's amazing. We'll find out. And we also have a book that's really just kind of extra content, you know, extended world content, mm-hmm. So I'm not sure what the story is going to be yet.
So
but again,
it sounds like a prequel. This is I'm getting this from the comments at the post. Platypus Man says, New York City in the early 1920s. I'm actually curious what the American wizards and witches of the Roaring Twenties look like. Witch flappers?
That's kind of cool. We get to see, because we never see any wizards from outside of England except for the Germans and the French a little bit in the Wizard World Cup. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that I'm going to stay positive. I'm going to say it's going to be amazing.
Why not? She's a good writer.
I'm also very excited that The Expanse by James S.A. Corey is now attached. Mark Fergus and Hawk Ostby will script the pilot for a TV show based on the trilogy of novels by Daniel Abraham and Ty Frank, a.k.a. James S.A. Corey.
That was confusing. Let's start over.
What was confusing about it?
It was confusing.
The Expanse by James S.A. Corey is being turned into a TV show. It's going to be written by Mark Fergus and Hawk Ostby and James S.A. Corey, if you don't know, or Daniel Abraham
so
and Ty Frank.
So the writers of Iron Man and Children of Men.
Oh, that's Mark. Okay. Yes.
Mark Fergus that's and Hawk Ostby.
Hawk Ostby.
Hawk Ostby. What did I say?
Hark.
You did. I did not.
Maybe.
I probably did. They're scripting the pilot for The Expanse.
That's what I said.
Of course. Written by Daniel Abraham and Ty Frank, James S.A. Corey. So that's what's happening.
I'm excited about this. I love that series.
I know you love it. You love them.
And I feel like they're like the closest thing to Firefly I've had in my life since Firefly was taken off the air.
And also, Iron Man and Children of Men are both awesome movies.
Yeah, good script writers attached to this. So, I mean, it's going to start.
Cool thing.
Yeah, it's going to start with the Leviathan Wakes book, but apparently it's going to cover the entire expanse of the expanse in an hour-long sci-fi drama. This is still early on in the series or in the development of it. Mm-hmm. So we don't know really that it for sure is going to be happening because they haven't got a network yet. As soon as we get a network, we can get really excited.
Well, maybe we should bring them back on to talk about it if they can. They probably
yeah,
can.
But that's at this point, they're going to be like, we can't say anything. So interview's over. See ya.
Speaking of things that have always been maybe happening or maybe not happening. We have some information from Ron Howard about the Dark Tower movie and TV series mega project, and it looks like it is still potentially happening. See how careful I'm being?
Yeah, I mean, what Ron Howard is saying is that he and all the people who've been working on the Dark Tower, and if you don't remember, the idea was that Ron Howard was going to make a movie and a TV series that would cover the roaring expanse that is the Dark Tower series, not just the main books, but the ancillary content as well. And that fell apart a couple of times. And Ron Howard says, I didn't realize how much media attention this was going to get. So we've been quiet about it, but we've still been working about it and on it. And that's all I'm going to say. It's delayed, but it's never gone away. That's what he's saying.
Things are happening.
Yep.
All right. Well, should we thank one of our other sponsors?
Yeah, this episode is brought to you by Squarespace. It is the all-in-one platform that makes it easy to make a website so that people like me don't screw it up. Mm-hmm. Like, I know how to do HTML. I know how to do a little bit of CSS, but I suck at design. And thank goodness that Squarespace is there to make Sword and Laser look good because they have award-winning designs. And so we just pick the design, we put it up, and then they have this easy-to-use WYSIWYG-like interface so I can go in and update the calendar in like 2 seconds. It's so reduced the amount of time since they updated to Squarespace 6. It's amazing. They've got a support team 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, just $8 a month. That includes a free domain name if you pay for an entire year at once. And you also get hosting. If you've gone to some of these other places, they're like, oh yeah, you just host it yourself, which you can do, right? But mm-hmm. a lot of you don't want the hassle of that. Squarespace rolls it all up into one and you don't even have to take our word for it. If you're like looking at Sword and Laser and you're like, I don't know if I could really do that, you guys. Do this. Start a trial at squarespace.com with no credit card required. You don't have to promise them anything and start building your website. You'll realize that you could totally rip us off and do the same website. Totally easy. But don't do that. When you decide to sign up for Squarespace, make sure to use the offer code SWORD9 to get 20% off. They increased it. 20% off. And you get to show your support for Sword and Laser.
Not thanks, bad.
Thank you, Squarespace, for that support, by the way.
Hey, Tom.
Yeah.
You're really good at that ad. I just want you to know that.
Oh, well, thanks. That's awfully nice
really
of you.
Really good at reading that ad. It's hard. It's a hard ad to read.
You know, I like Squarespace. It's easier when you actually use the product and like it.
You know, use all of the products that we talk about.
I use the Audible. I use the Squarespace. And everything you need to create an exceptional website, squarespace.com. Thank you very much.
All right, let's do a book check-in. So we are reading The Demolish Man by Alfred Bester, who was the first Hugo Award winner way back when. And I'm done the book, but we're not going to do any spoilers today.
We will wrap it up when we do our kickoff. By the way, do you have any inkling of what the next month's book is going to be?
I don't have any idea.
No idea. Okay, no. We'll talk about that later. For now, I'll keep reading The Demolish Man by Alfred Bester. I just finished up myself. No spoilers today, though. There is a good discussion going on about Reich, the main character. And if you want zero spoilers, you might want to stop right now. We're not going to spoil the plot, but we are going to talk about characters and stuff. There's a great thread going on in the Goodreads forum. And I want to set this up and then I want to get your opinion, Veronica.
Okay.
Litbug wrote, I didn't find Reich unbelievable because a lot of people have been saying that he is unbelievable. Rather, he was very believable, but I wish his character had been better nuanced. I love anti-heroes. John says, I think it's a bit easy to throw away criticism of flat characters as not taking a lot of thought. What doesn't take a lot of thought is making a protagonist I as a reader want to root for. It's one of the first things you learn as a writer, and Bester doesn't even bother. So he's saying, I don't care about Reich. It's not that he's an anti-hero. It's just he didn't make me care about him. And then Serendi said, not all writers want to write protagonists you want to root for. It's occasionally even the right choice. So Serendi's saying, hey, maybe you aren't supposed to root for Reich. Maybe the idea here is that he is an anti-hero that you're supposed to not like. What did you think, V?
I was actually, so in the beginning, I felt like Reich had a little more dimensionality to him. Like, I felt like he was the kind of guy that he was kind of power hungry. He was, you know, a little bit on the greedy side, a little bit on the crazy aggro side. But on the same token, he seemed to have some kindness in his heart towards the people he worked for. At least he said some nice things. He seemed like he was, you know, maybe not a terrible dude. But as the book went on, all that kind of changed for a lot of different reasons. And then he just kind of became a little bit batshit crazy.
He became a little cartoony to me.
Yeah, like a little bit like, I'm yelling, I'm mad.
I will kill them all.
I'll kill them all. Burn the world.
I can't tell how much of that is just the way the culture was in the 50s, because I've seen that kind of character and that kind of attitude in many books and movies from that era.
Totally. Like overacting.
Yeah.
Like he was overacting a little bit. I much preferred Lincoln Powell as a character.
Much more depth, yeah.
Because he, I wish we had actually gone into some of his more dark sides, because I felt like he's the quote good guy in the story, basically. And yet we know that he has certain faults, but we don't really dive into those as much as I would have liked.
I see why this won a Hugo at the time. I doubt it would win a Hugo now, but I think that is because of the progression of science fiction since that time.
Okay.
And some of these ideas are still very unique and innovative. The Esper speech, the way people get around in that society, those are still good stuff. That stuff would still work. A lot of it, though, was just innovative at the time because, hey, we have this woman who regresses into a baby, and yet we still have this guy who loves her, and yet she's acting like a baby, and isn't that weird? I've seen that done before. It's very uncomfortable, and mm-hmm. I get where that might be in the 50s, like, whoa, can you even print that? And now it's sort of like, okay, they're doing that trope.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah. I kind of get the same sense. It did feel like watching an old movie and kind of experiencing those characters and seeing things that must have been very shocking at that time. But now, like you said, we're kind of like, meh.
I still found parts of it to be very relevant and still very fresh, just not the whole thing.
A lot of the personal relationships I thought were very interesting, like between Powell and Mary,
mm-hmm.
or between I loved how they do the naming with like the ampersands and
yeah, it's like Leet speech signs, long Atkins, before Leet speech. Yeah,
Sam Atkins was
with signs. with the at symbol,
and I found myself going, 8, sir, 7, sir, 6, sir, 5, sir, 4, sir, 3, sir, 2, sir, 1. Tensor said the tensor. Tensor said the tensor. Tension, apprehension, and dissension have begun.
Don't do that to people. Well, now people can't read your thoughts. That's a service we provide to you at Sword and Laser. Speaking of which, there's a thread going on about the slang that is used. Did any of that strike you as weird? The one that particularly Harold pointed out was jet, which in the 80s became slang for let's go, mm-hmm. but kind of has a different meaning in this book. And so it throws you off a little bit, like, whoa, did he mean go? Oh no, he didn't mean go. He meant go fast. Okay.
Right, right. I liked peep me. Peepers. I kind of thought those were fun.
Peep me.
I liked the thing where they would go like bim bam.
Oh, yeah, that was very 50s-ish, though. That felt like something out of West Side Story, almost an East Side Story. Totally
yeah,
different.
Yeah, it did, but I can't remember. It was like bim, bam, bop, something.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Actually, on the Sword and Laser Twitter account, I said, what did I do? What's the funny thing that I did? I went bip, and then Eric
oh, yeah,
Booth
I saw
went
that.
Boop. And then I went bim, and someone was supposed to say bop, and no one said bop.
No one said bop. They left you hanging.
No one bopped me.
Sorry about that. That's I could have okay. bopped you.
We should have.
And I didn't. Left you hanging.
So I thought that was funny.
Some people brought up in a thread that this is the legacy of John Campbell, but ESP in science fiction really shouldn't be there because it's not science. That was Sean O'Hara bringing this up.
All right. Okay. All right. Well, so is it fantasy at that point? Should it be fantasy?
ESP is a hard one because right now there's very little, if any, evidence that that sort of thing could happen. But that's not to say it is impossible. So you have to kind of provide an underpinning of the science if you want this to be considered science fiction, and he doesn't. So I don't know. I wouldn't call this book space opera, but it does sort of just jump to the conclusion that, like, well, of course this could happen. We evolved into it. And that is, he's not alone. Alfred Bester is not the only one. John W. Campbell was not the only one. I mean, Philip K. Dick had ESP all over his science fiction novels, and he's not the only one. It's in Dune. It's all over the place.
Andreas on the forum thread says ESP and other mind capabilities, e.g. telekinesis, teleporting, time bending, are sci-fi's magic. Very long-running continuous sci-fi booklet, Perry Rhodan, introduced a couple of mutants, which are now central themes since then, since over 22,000 weeks. I don't know what that means, actually. But I like the part where it's sci-fi's magic.
And then finally, Beth had a thread called Utopia or Not. Reading a lot of comments from people suggesting Bester was implying that peepers would make or were currently making society a utopia got me thinking, because in my opinion, there was nothing utopian about their society.
We didn't really see enough of their society. I mean, we know there's some strife in that they have to marry other peepers. So that doesn't seem that nice, but it seems like they are trying to, they're a minority still in culture. And they're still
a powerful minority.
They're not a
disempowered minority.
Right. But I can see, I understand the part where they said they're working towards a utopia. I think that is probably true. But there are still ranks within their files that are anti certain factions and fighting against each other. And so maybe a utopia is not quite as close as they would hope.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. It's something they're striving for and they think they can achieve. Maybe we don't think their idea of utopia sounds very utopian because we're not them. We're not peepers.
But even peepers, there's factions there's even within dissension, the peepers that intention. Fight against each other and apprehension.
It's begun. Shall we move on?
We shall move on, yes. So we are going to wrap this up at the end of the month, but hopefully you guys are enjoying Demolish Man by Alfred Bester. I did enjoy it, so...
I definitely enjoyed it. I was glad we read it.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's move on to Barrier Sword. Not too much this month. And Tamahome kicked things off by saying the show title of our last interview episode should have been R.A. Salvatore.
That was our R.A. Salvatore again. Third time we've had him on because we had him on the video show. We had him on last year's Dragon Con.
The R.A. Salvatore.
Next time we have R.A. Salvatore on the show, and you can almost guarantee it'll happen again, it's going to be R.A. Salvatore, Tamahome. You can count.
He's never going to be an R.A. Salvatore.
No, he isn't.
He's always welcome on the show. He's a great
you
guy.
You could. I'm not going to say that.
Say it. Say it.
You could call us R.A. Salvatores.
We love Bob. Bob's great.
We love
great.
Bob. What are you going to say? Who else not to love?
Let's give a little update on the anthology.
Yes, lots of stuff going on with the anthology. We're making progress. Our editor, CJ Harrison, is working with the submitters right now on their stories. Very excited. We're actually paying them. That's going to happen, I promise.
Yeah, money is coming.
Check's almost in the mail. I mean, this is real. I think both Veronica and I are like, wow, this actually is happening.
It is happening.
We're putting this together. And we're talking to people about publication options and all of that sort of thing. So we will definitely have ebooks for you to purchase. We will probably have print versions. But I can almost say we will have print versions of some sort or another. We have yet to figure out what that will mean. But we still don't have a date. We're not that close yet to be able to say for certain it'll come out on this date. So stay tuned for that.
Yeah, I imagine we'll have an ebook would happen a lot sooner than a hardcover book, but we really want a hardcover book to happen. So whenever that is possible, That's
the editing process takes time.
It does.
Yeah.
Gotta, I like how you just blame CJ for the time.
No, that wasn't that's not what I meant at all. Oh, no.
She's going to take a really long time to edit this stuff.
She's really slow. No. Editing any good editor. If she wasn't a good editor, I'd say it would happen fast. But she is, so she's going to be good.
All righty.
It's like, what, 100,000 words in this thing, right?
It's over 100,000 words. It's a big book. I mean, it's not Name of the Wind, which clocks in over 400,000, but it's up there. It's a lot of stories. A lot of good stories. I'm really excited. I think it's my favorite thing I've ever done. And I didn't even do anything. I just said, hey, guys, send me stories.
Do this for me.
Do this for me. So thank you. It's awesome. And I'm really excited to share all of it with you guys out there. All right. Well, I think that's an episode, Tom.
That is an episode. Thank you all for listening.
Yes.
Tell your friends to listen too.
We've got a video up. We have a new YouTube channel. We had a YouTube channel. Now we have a different YouTube channel. We'll put it in the show notes if you guys want to subscribe. It's where all of our future videos will be going. And we have an interview up with author Robin Schneider that you can check out now. We'll have the audio podcast version of that next week. And if you guys want to get in touch with us, the email address is feedback@swordandlaser.com. All of our discussions happen over on goodreads.com. The website is swordandlaser.com. And if you want to call and leave us a voicemail, the phone number is 415-7-SWORD-6. We'll see you guys next time.
Eight, sir, seven, sir, six, sir, five.
Tension, apprehension, and dissension have begun.